and you can walk away. No harm, no foul. Leave her and the others in peace, and you were never here.
It's not that simple, you stupid idiots. You and your precious brothers are part of my endgame.
No!
Mary shouted. Peter struck her with the butt of the gun.
I told you to shut the hell up.
Rage distorted Dylan's vision a moment. He edged forward, stance ready.
Name your price, Ruggers.
This isn't about the money. Not anymore. Once I get what I need from her, I'll be set. This is about security. The people I work for are very irritated the arsenal is gaining ground so quickly. They fear you'll be a thorn in their sides too soon.
You drew us all here to kill us? Not the smartest plan.
With you all here, there's no one to defend your precious ranch. The compound. Weaponry ripe for the taking. A tragic fire, a massive explosion. Everything and everyone killed. Quite unfortunate, really.
He smiled.
You've made a couple grave mistakes with the plan, Ruggers.
Graves commented.
Oh, really? What was that? One, it doesn't take everyone on the Arsenal payroll to take your stupid ass out. They've doubled their size since they gained the Quillery Edge,
Graves said.
Which leads to fuck up number two, the really big one.
Dylan allowed a cold, calculated smile as Peter stared at him. The weapon moved from Graves to him.
You didn't factor in Mary and Vi, their system. Even if we've been dumb enough to leave our compound unmanned, Hera is on the job. Since my edge designed the program, I know it'll kick whosoever asses you send in.
A drone buzzed rapidly toward the hand holding a gun on Mary. Peter yelped as electricity arced between the machine and him. Dylan fell to his knees, grabbed the weapon, and fired. Gunfire echoed in the area as a second, then a third blast filled the room.
No, no, no.
He stumbled forward, unsure whose blood coated the area.
Mary!
Don't stop!
Graves pushed on his chest.
I need to secure the bomb. She's okay. Breathe through it, man. Look. She's okay.
She's okay.
The words struck center mass and neutralized the fear in him. He tracked the blood pouring from two head wounds on Peter's lifeless body. Blood spatter covered the area, including Mary. Her gaze remained on him.
I'm okay. You're here. I'm okay because you're here.
Mary looked down at Graves. Fallon will have me out of this in no time.
Chapter 26. Even though Graves did the brunt of the work deactivating the ordnance, he stepped back with a wink and let Dylan cut her loose. Tears burned her eyes as she wrapped herself around him and sobbed the relief, the regret, the sorrow.
I've got you, sweetheart. It's over. It's finally over.
Mary doubted it was really over. Peter turning was huge, an epic earthquake of the covert ops arena. They'd suffer tremors from his actions for years to come. Her mind didn't allow thoughts beyond the carnage in the room, the man holding her so tight she could barely breathe.
I'm so sorry, she whispered.
You have nothing to be sorry for, sweetheart. I was a dick,
he muttered into her ear.
Never again. They worked everyone, drove a wedge between us. I'm not ever letting that happen again.
No, never.
She whispered the words as others boomeranged in her mind. She loved him. But the dust was settling, and they both deserved to take their own pulses on where things stood. He had a huge family, one who loved him unconditionally. A thriving empire within the paramilitary operations arena. He needed time to figure out if what they'd enjoyed was worth continuing. As for her, well, Mary had a lot of decisions on her own to make. Vi sprinted toward them and vaulted her way into their midst.
"You scared the shit out of us. Don't ever leave an op like that. I'm sorry I was a bitch.
We all regret what went down. We'll learn from it and move on." She hugged Vi.
"It's over. God, I can't believe it was Peter. Where's Addie?"
"Outside, desperate to see for herself that you're okay. Marshall won't let her in." Mary's stomach lurched when her gaze reflexively fell on Peter's covered body. Dylan had taken the shot for her. Graves did as well. She'd heard Fallon telling him they'd never know where the kill shot came from. Mary was relieved in a way, but knew her man would carry the lost soul as his, for her. She wanted to be back at the compound, in his room, in his shower. Scrubbing off the day and crawling into bed sounded like a beautiful idea. She and Dylan had a lot to hash out. Everything else, everyone else, could wait. The only thing that mattered to her was getting his pulse, making sure he was okay with what happened, what he'd done to get her safe.
"Parsons gave us everything we needed. Logan wasn't involved. We found him, sweetheart."
Dylan kissed her cheek.
"He tried to keep Dan from taking you. I watched the footage."
Pain overwhelmed her. She sank against him.
"Logan? God, Dylan. He killed Logan."
"Shh, sweetheart. He's okay, or will be. We choppered him into emergency, and he toughed it out through surgery. It'll be a slow healing process, but he'll survive. We'll go see him tomorrow."
Logan was alive. The relief assailed her as she nodded.
"Take me home."
"We need to take you in. Have someone at the hospital check you over. Are you hurting? What'd he do to you, sweetheart?"
Concern pushed the words out in a jumbled wave as his gaze turned intense, assessing.
"I'll be fine. We'll go in tomorrow. I'm sure you all have patched up worse. I just want to be home."
Home. The word repeated itself often in her conversation when she thought about the compound, Dylan's family ranch. It was the closest to a real home she'd had, even though she was living in what equated to a very low-grade motel room. The entire facility, the sprawling land, and the huge main house were everything she could ever want, and so much more.
"My pleasure, Mary. My pleasure. Let's go home." "She's all right, just exhausted. Emotional distress takes a big toll on someone, and she's been through a lot from what Marshall told me."
Mary tensed. The voice was somewhat familiar, but still strange enough to spike her adrenaline. Her pulse raced.
"Ah, someone's coming around. You're okay, Mary. I'm Brandt. Remember me?"
Mary blinked and stared up at the man sitting on the side of her bed. Her gaze swept the room. Dylan was on the other side. The relief flooding her was immediate, and she slid herself nearer him.
"Marshall called, asked me to come out and make sure you were okay. I'm afraid I'm the only doctor around. My uncle's under the weather right now. Do you mind if I take a look?"
"I'm fine," she whispered uncertainly. "Just tired."
"Well, you took a few blows to your head. Do you have any dizziness, nausea, confusion? Ringing in the ears?
Memory loss?
I didn't until you started asking all those questions, she muttered. How'd I get in here?
I carried you. We got in a couple hours ago. You fell asleep in the truck. Remember?
Kind of. Mary remained quiet. She didn't want to get hauled into a hospital. Brant's gaze narrowed.
Yeah, he was a bit smarter than she wanted. She coughed. Pain shot up her side as the burning sensation radiated in her chest. He dragged out a stethoscope and guided her into an awkward forward lean. Dylan grasped her shoulder and helped her stay in position as she did the whole breathe-in-deep, exhale-slow routine. Brant's lips tightened, gaze narrowed even more, which was a shame because he had pretty cinnamon eyes. Such a pale brown, they were almost gold.
You have some water in your lungs.
I breathed in at the wrong time, I guess, she said flippantly.
What'd the man want to hear?
I'm not trying to make you uncomfortable, Mary, but I need to know how hurt you are so we can get you better. If you help me out, we might avoid a trip into Nomad.
Nomad? She asked Dylan.
20 miles up the road, bigger town, small hospital there.
Dylan cupped her cheek gently.
Sweetheart, did he waterboard you again?
She hiccuped as tears escaped her eyes.
Yes, but I don't want to talk about it.
I know. Give it to me once, then we won't mention it again until you're ready, okay?
Dylan's lips thinned. Concern and regret filled his watery eyes.
Did he rape you, sweetheart?
No, she said emphatically. It wasn't like last time. I swear, nothing like last time.
Okay, so he waterboarded. What else?
Shocking. He liked that one.
Outrage wafted from the two men. She held her breath and finished.
He was more into psychological torture, filling me in on the way he trained Addie, the things he'd done over the years, what he'd do once he got you.
That was the worst. The things he'd promised made her hurl. She slammed her hand over her mouth and stared wide-eyed into the room. Brant moved quickly for a tall, muscular man. Mary didn't know what they had in the Rosina water supply, but they had more than their fair quota of sexy men. Dylan held her hair back, and she purged the meager contents of her stomach into the wastebasket. Brant held out a cool washcloth and a cup of water when she finished. She rinsed her mouth out, then held still as Dylan washed her face.
She'll need a few stitches along her eyebrow, Brant commented. She may have a mild concussion. Watch her closely. Monitor her often when she sleeps. Bed rest for the next couple of days. I'm not a psychologist, but she should talk to someone. You have a psychiatrist here now for PTSD? Not anymore,
Dylan said.
Long story. Have Marshall fill you in.
You'll get another one, though, right? I mean, the whole debriefing your day 20 minutes at night and 20 minutes in the morning had merit, you know. You guys need someone here to lead the group sessions and work with people one-on-one, Mary said.
We'll find someone else, sweetheart. There's a psychiatrist in Nomad,
Brant offered.
She's good. I can give her a call, see if she'll come out here and help until you find someone else. The last female doc we got had her big brother kidnap Mary. I'm not liking the idea of another stranger coming into the compound. She served long enough to earn her medical degree. She probably saw more field time than whoever you had before. Give her a chance. I'll even sit second chair for the group therapy if you want. The Warriors Path Project is too important to table the good you can do.
Dylan, she can help Addie too. You know she'll need to talk to someone.
She swallowed back the nervousness crawling up her throat.
You will too.
How about I make you a deal? I'll get Nolan to work with Brent on getting his friend in if you promise me you'll stop worrying about everyone. Let us handle things for a while.
I'm not the one who shot someone today, she whispered. Promise. You'll give it to me when you're ready. That's what we agreed, right? I know I screwed up when I used what you said against you, but I was trying to protect you.
I know, sweetheart. It's one of the many things I'm starting to love about you.
He kissed her softly.
I'll be back. I'm going to walk Brant out.
Mary used the time to pad into the bathroom and tend to business. She jumped into the shower and started scrubbing away the day. She couldn't get clean. Driggs, Peter, Chicago, San Antonio. Ugh. The shower curtain pulled back. Dylan's assessing gaze swept over her, more concerned than sexual. Mary let the anticipation flaring in her pulse to lead the moment. She reached out and pulled on him. He yanked his shirt over his head as water pounded down on her body. She felt stupid, with her casted arm wrapped in a baggie, but nothing mattered except watching Dylan shimmy out of his jeans and boxers. Her heartbeat accelerated, a ragged pattering, a reminder she was alive, safe. Though she wanted his mouth on hers, she knew the contact would hurt more than it would cure the ache inside her. The moment was about hot and heavy sex. It was a reminder of what they'd almost lost.
Jesus, sweetheart, your face.
He kissed along her battered eyes, a feathery contact she barely felt, though the chain reaction spread through her entire body. She trembled as he washed her hair twice, then conditioned twice. Eyes closed, she leaned into his strength, warmth, and let him wash the dry blood and filth from her body. Some hers, some Peter's. Tears ran freely between them. Her hand roamed his body, washing and massaging, touching and enjoying. Though she wanted him more than the breath she dragged in through bruised ribs, she knew he wouldn't make love to her. Not when she still wore more reminders of what had just happened than ever before.
You're all that matters, Dylan Mason. I realize that too late. If it means making things work between us, I'll walk away from ops, from the job.
She coiled her fingers around his hardened length. You're all I need.
Mary.
He dragged her name out. A plea and a promise rolled into one heady, gravelly sound. He kissed along her neck and down her chest. Fingers taunted her hard nipples. His mouth followed, blazing a trail of fiery warmth and desire. She stroked his cock, relishing the small groans and rumbles he admitted. The way his body trembled wherever she kissed, touched. They stroked, petted, and tasted, a languid exploration that somehow washed away more of the day's filth than the soap and water. Dylan cupped her sex. She thrust against his hand, urging him to give her the release so close she felt it rising from deep within. Pleasure shot through her core as she clenched his fingers. He held her in place and started a firm, confident pace that seduced her closer and closer to the spiraling nirvana. She used the same rhythm, tumbled into the deep green depths of his gaze.
I love you, Dylan, she whispered. I know it's too soon, but I've never felt. After what happened today, I had to say it.
I couldn't risk not having another chance. I love you.
I love you too, Mary Reynolds. And I love you, Edge. I want you to know I love both sides of who you are. It's important you know that after today. I'll love and protect you both with my life. Everything I am and will be.
He kissed her as he found her clit and rolled the sensitive nub beneath his deft fingertips. She came hard, her mouth scant millimeters from his. She drew in his breath as her own and worked his hard length. She wanted him inside her, but she sensed his need to wait, give her time to recover from today. The patience made her love him even more. She clung to him as they came together. Spent, she collapsed against him. He carried her from the shower and towel dried her. He glanced over his shoulder, thunderously so, at the door.
Wait here, sweetheart. I'll be right back.
Mary sat on the toilet, wrapped in a towel. Conversation drifted through the door. Her body tightened. She didn't want to welcome anyone, converse about the day, or anything. She wanted to crawl into Dylan's bed with Dylan. He returned quickly. She rose. Who's outside?
The girls, the brothers. Who isn't outside would be a better question. I told them we'd get you dressed, then head to the main house. Mom wants us there tonight.
But
she needs us under her roof. She heard enough about today to get scared. We're all crashing there tonight, giving her the calm of family and friends. Together, safe, loved.
Dylan smiled.
She's cooking a late dinner.
Mary's stomach growled.
I got you some shorts and a shirt of mine. I can go get your clothes if you want, but I love how sexy you are in mine.
Her heart banged wildly again. I like yours better. She dressed and followed him out and towed on her flip-flops. She grabbed the brush from the dresser and slipped it into her pocket. Her hair was probably a wreck. Dylan was in a pair of low-hanging shorts and a sleeveless shirt. He drove them to the main house. Despite her protests, they could walk. Everyone was huddled around the large, wraparound porch when they pulled up. They rushed the car like she was a queen or something. She got a couple tight hugs from Bree and Rhea. Then Dylan was there, in front of her, growling about her injured ribs. She offered everyone a smile as they headed into the house. Vi, Bree, and Rhea dragged her into the adjoining room. Riley and Addie were hot on their heels. Mary lunged for the ladder, hugging her tight as a fresh wave of tears spilled.
I'm so sorry about Peter. I'm so, so sorry.
She squeezed both Addie's shoulders and looked into her watery eyes.
He didn't have a choice.
I know.
She wiped her face.
I've been over everything 100 times, and I can't make sense of it all.
We'll likely never unravel everything.
Vi whispered.
We're here, whenever you're ready to talk. That goes for you too, Mary.
Dylan's bringing in a psychiatrist from Nomad. Some woman Brant knows.
She peeked at Addie.
I was thinking maybe you and I could go together. It'll be easier that way.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Good.
Bree put her hands together. Let's get back out there before Dylan sends a search party for you. Mary chuckled. Anticipation beaded along her skin as her heart swelled. She was surrounded by her friends, the makeshift family, Dylan's entire brood. As they made their way into the living room, everything misplaced in her life locked into place. Dylan sat on the love seat, eating up the entire space with his glower. Bree and Rhea giggled as she headed off in his direction. Her pulse quickened as the impulse she'd had back in his compound quarters had its moment of fruition. He and just about everyone else tracked her movements as she passed people and offered hugs and whispers of gratitude to his brothers, Fallon, Gage. She reached into the pocket of the shorts she'd borrowed and dragged the hairbrush out. She turned and plopped on the carpet between his feet, back to him before he could comment. Brush held up in her good hand, she waited.
"Oh my God,"
Riley gasped the words, tears reflected in her friend's gaze.
"Why the hell are you crying?"
Marshall asked.
"Oh, shut up! You're ruining the moment,"
Riley ordered with watery words. Mary offered Dylan's little sister a smile through her own watery eyes as Dylan took the brush and slowly started working the ratty mess that was her hair. Jesse smiled warmly from across the room, a knowing gleam in his gaze. She doubted anyone else in the room would ever know what the moment meant, the calm she gave him, what it meant to her. It'd be a little secret between the four of them until Jesse found his calm. For now, she hoped Dylan understood what she was promising. No matter what, they'd have this, the calm. Mrs. Mason fussed and fritzed over Mary a few minutes before her sons dragged her away and sat her between Jesse and Dallas. The billion-watt smile on her face indicated she loved every second of their attention, along with the fact they'd hit pause on the messed-up events of the past several weeks and enjoyed being here, the home they grew up in. Mary's heart ached for what Addie was going through. She couldn't imagine, not even close. She'd been close to Peter, but he hadn't been a brother, flesh and blood. Mary had lost her half-brother, but that'd been his choice. He'd turned. Okay, yeah, maybe she did know a thing or two about it. Dylan braided her hair, then went about massaging the stress from her shoulders.
"Mom mentioned we should refurbish the old foreman's house. Maybe construct a few more small cottages along the back section of the ranch, beyond the compound,"
Marshall commented.
"We told her we were going to work on obtaining the old Burton place."
"That make a great fixer-upper for a young couple starting out. Lots of space for little ones,"
she commented not so subtly. Dylan chuckled behind Mary. All of his brothers did as well, an understanding and amused glimmer in their eyes. Riley laughed outright. Tears rolled down her face. Addie even smiled. Mary would happily give Dylan's mom that playover again 100 times to see a smile on her friend's face. She rubbed her belly and thought about carrying Dylan's babies. Yeah, that'd be pretty good. Her toes curled in her flip-flops as she leaned her head back and looked at him upside down. A knowing smirk spread across his face. Her man loved her. How cool was that?
"I know you're going to be taking a couple weeks off, but we've got a slew of applications coming in. Hell, we have operatives just showing up. Rosino and Nomad are filled. It's like a family reunion."
"Word's out the Quillery Edge is at the Arsenal,"
Nolan commented.
"And Addie, she's gotten quite a reputation as getting the job done in the field. Once they found out we have all three, they want in bad."
"And we're staying too," Bree shouted, hands up in the air. "I get to be part of the badass brigade. Dallas even promised I could play with the toys down in the basement. On a real firing range. Can you believe that?"
"No, no, I can't," Addie said. "We chatted about this, guys. She has a serious obsession with being a G.I. Joe version of Nancy Drew. You can't fuel that."
"Sorry, she just gets so excited about all the stuff, and we've got some seriously cool gear."
Dallas flashed a smile.
I won't show her the stuff that explodes, okay?
The Pentagon is officially in business, Riley shouted. The guys chuckled. Heat rose in Mary's cheeks. Dylan leaned down and kissed her.
Cute as hell, sweetheart. The Pentagon? Real cute.
She ignored his teasing and focused on Riley. Since I'm going to have some time off, I figured Dylan and I could look into the trouble you mentioned.
Your friend, Rach? What trouble?
Brant asked. We'll chat later. It's gonna be okay. You know, things in Marvel are super creepy. Dylan said they'd looked into it. I'm going to get her to stay out here a few weeks, use the renovations as an excuse. She loves that sort of thing, Riley said.
And she's great at it,
Brant commented.
Keeping her mind on stuff out here will help. I'm in. Whatever it is, I'm in.
The statement was meant for Dylan. Mary smirked to herself as she realized the doctor had more than a passing interest in Riley's friend. The twinkle in the blonde's eyes said she'd figured out the same thing. Interesting. What about Hive? What are you going to do, Addie? Rhea asked.
Well, Marshall and the guys were talking with me earlier. If Vi and Mary will help, I'm thinking we'll consolidate everything, merge Hive into the arsenal. I'd come on as a team leader. Graves is already on board to take a team, assuming you two geeks find us enough operatives to knock into shape.
Yeah, we can do that,
Vi said. There it was. The final pieces tumbled into place. Mary smiled as Dylan hauled her up and perched her on his lap.
You about ready for bed, sweetheart?
Depends.
On what?
You really want to sleep? I'm kind of wanting to pick up where we left off, she whispered. Or is it too weird in your mom's house?
This is your home, too. Once we get started on the renovations, I want you to pick out whichever place you like the most. We'll get it put to rights. Then we can make it our own. Whatever you want.
He caressed her cheek.
Then, when things are settled and you're ready, I want my ring on your finger.
Holy shit,
Cord muttered from nearby. You... Heat rose in her cheeks as a couple knowing grins spread near them.
Did you just propose?
I'm in ratty shorts and flip-flops in your mom's living room. You can't just spring something like that. That's worse than you dragging me to Bubba's looking like a bridge troll.
Is that a no?
No, it's not a no. It's a what the heck. She took a deep, shaky breath as the shock settled in. Mrs. Dylan Mason. Mary Mason. Ha! She really liked that. Warmth spread through her. She leaned in and kissed his mouth. Gaze locked, she whispered. Whenever, wherever, however. Yes, I'll marry you. You think your mom will help arrange stuff? Yes! She shouted from across the room, tears in her eyes. Yes, dear, I know just the thing. She sprang up from the sofa. I need to make some calls. Laughter boomed through the room. Dylan scooped her up into his arms and carried her upstairs. Tomorrow was soon enough to deal with whatever elaborate plans his mom would come up with. For tonight, she'd celebrate life, happiness, love. Most of all, she'd found her other half. Dylan understood what made her the edge. He took all the jagged pieces of her, Mary, the edge, her past, and made her whole. The end. Thank you for listening to Jagged Edge.
please consider leaving a review. I'd love to hear what you thought about Mary and Dylan's story. Are you ready for more of the Arsenal series? Sightlines Book 2 will be available soon. Continue listening for a sneak peek of Vi's story. Sightlines, Chapter 1. Viviana Quillery Chambers secured the wrist control into position and activated Hera. Drones rose and zoomed to their pre-programmed positions. Palms sweaty, pulse racing. She forced a deep breath and exhaled through the unease. She'd participated in hundreds, no thousands, of ops through the years. This one was different, though. She was in the field on this one because it was personal. "Hey, we've got this." Addie Ruggers slapped her on the back and smiled. "We've run through every possible scenario, damn near 100 times. The kick-ass operative wasn't lying. Every muscle in Vi's body ached from the hours upon hours of dry runs her new boss insisted on doing. Marshall Mason and his brothers didn't mess around. It was one of the 10,000 reasons the Arsenal was the best private paramilitary organization around. "I'm good. I'm just sick of waiting." Vi adjusted the earpiece in her left ear and stared out across the street. Apartment 6E held their quarry. He damned well better have the answers she wanted. "Shake it off or you'll get benched," Addie warned. The redhead motioned to the vehicle in front of them, a black SUV with darkened windows, a twin to the one they had just exited. "Say the word and Cord'll step in." "No, this is mine. I'm lead." She punctuated the last two words as she channeled the anger, the seething rage she'd kept contained, unseen. Nervous energy was expected, an acceptable display, one she'd allowed the past few minutes, no more. If her new boss knew how emotionally vested she was, they'd bench her. She spent damn near every hour of the past 2 weeks scouring the deep web and every other crevice of humanity to unearth the asshole in apartment 6E. The Arsenal didn't mess around, but they didn't put their people in trouble's sight lines. Not if they were too deep in their own heads to focus. Today's objective was simple. Breach apartment 6E and get answers. She summoned the calm, the no-holds-barred confidence, which had translated to nothing but successful missions for her and her partner, Mary, a.k.a. The Edge. Together, they'd been the Quillery Edge ever since freshman year at MIT. Today was for Mary, her and Addie. Vi looked over at the red-headed friend, the one who'd lost so much and hadn't batted an eye. Fierce operatives like Addison Ruggers took whatever blows life dealt and came back stronger. She deserved a break. It was the least Vi could do, seeing how she failed them both so miserably when the Hive nightmare started. They deserved answers, justice, closure. Her wrist apparatus chimed, signaling the start of the mission. Drones were in position. "Hallways are clear and secure," Mary offered through the comm.
"Roger,"
Vi replied.
"Be careful," Mary whispered in reply. "Listen to Addie if things go wrong. Cord and I have your back."
Mary had insisted on coming, being alongside Vi. Thank goodness Dylan had talked sense into her.
"You'll be better back up here in command."
She and Mary had received limited field training when they started at their former employer, Hive. Thus, the refresher courses Addie and the other team leaders at the Arsenal had made her go through. Fortunately, she'd done well enough for them to flag her as active for field work.
they had no choice. Although they'd gotten most of those responsible for kidnapping Mary, the ringleader was still in the wind. Her friend wouldn't be truly safe, able to move on until every single person with a hand in what happened paid. This entire thing was Vi's mess, and she was going to clean it up.
"We're going in," Vi stated.
A drone maneuvered up the stairwell to the left when they entered the lobby. Huntington Apartments was in a part of Chicago where most people wouldn't care to live. But it was within a quarter mile of the pizzeria Arnie Mulligan worked at 30 hours a week. The minimum wage position and shitty one-bedroom kept him off Uncle Sam's radar. Too bad he'd hit Vi's in a big way. Addie long-legged stride, chewed up the stairs two and sometimes three at a time. Vi cursed her short and much fuller body, but remained radio silent. She didn't need to breathe to kick Arnie's ass. She wouldn't be kicking his ass at all. That was Addie's job. Addie remained 5 to 6 stairs ahead of Vi the entire way up to the 6th floor. Two drones hovered near Vi, one in front of Addie. They'd only used 2 in the last hostage recovery mission they'd undertaken last week. Needless to say, the entire arsenal was personally vested in the objective. Vi pulled out the Sig Sauer she'd been issued. Just holding it made her feel a bit more badass and a little less fat-ass. Then Addie nodded, lifted a leg, and kicked the door to apartment 6E. Wood splintered. The redhead didn't miss a beat. She disappeared through the entry. Vi remembered the instructions, duck and to the right. Easy enough. Penetration of the target's domicile wasn't difficult. He was a 370-pound idiot savant with a penchant for kiddie porn. Addie had her gun pressed against Arnie's temple. Arnie was staring at Vi as she entered. His large, brown-eyed gaze flitted between her and Addie.
"Hello, Arnie," Vi said.
She set the gun down on the kitchen table, one he'd converted into a workstation of sorts. Computers in assorted stages of completion or deconstruction were strewn about the area. Gnats flitted about and landed on half-finished food and paper plates. Supersized drinks from the corner convenience store laid in a heap in the corner.
"Jesus, the bastard's a cliché geek,"
Cord spat through the comm. Arnie gasped as the drone hovered inches from his face.
"Back off, this is my op,"
Vi commented. She waited as the drone backed away a few inches, hovering near her ear.
"We need to talk, Arnie."
"I ain't got nothing of value. Take whatever you want."
His lower lip quivered.
"Just don't hurt me."
"Please, you'd probably enjoy it too much,"
Addie replied, her voice low and lethal.
"You disappoint me, Arnie."
Vi forced his attention back to her.
"Lady, I don't even know you."
His shaky voice rose an octave.
"Don't hurt me."
Vi pulled on a pair of gloves, more for effect than necessity, and waited until his eyes widened.
"What am I going to find on your computer, Arnie?"
Lower lip trembling, he remained quiet. She dreamed of this moment for days. He wasn't supposed to cry, not this soon. He needed to suffer for his part in Mary's abduction. Arnie was messing with her pissed-off mojo. It wasn't funny squashing a bug if they didn't offer at least a little fight. She'd seen what the bastard got off on, studied what he sold to pad his secret bank accounts. He deserved far more than a wrath.
"You've been a bad, bad boy, Arnold Harry Mulligan. You would have gotten away with it
if you hadn't gotten greedy. Vi went around the table to stand at his other side. See, you're one of a million cockroaches scurrying when the lights go on. When I perch the deep web, I move right past you because you aren't worth the effort. I'm going for the snakes, the vipers. She reached down and banged the table. Gnats flew for cover. Unfinished drinks teetered. Arnie trembled. Talk to me about your voice alteration programs. Who hired you to duplicate my voice? Recognition flared his eyes wide, and for a flash, barely a breath, Vi tasted something other than failure. Guilt. She heard something other than her best friend's voice, screaming in the middle of the night, screaming her name over and over and over. It'd been weeks since Mary had bad episodes, but Vi remembered. Every time she closed her eyes, she remembered those screams.
Oh, God.
Arnie squeezed his eyes shut, his bladder let loose.
I didn't know. I swear, I didn't know what they were going to do.
But you agreed. Did the deed, took the money, and ran like the cockroach you are. She whispered angrily. You knew whose voice you were cloning. You aren't a dumb troll, just lazy. You knew there'd be consequences. You knew who I was.
Yeah, I knew. Quillery, the bitch who culls the shadows.
Vi culled far more than the shadows. The one site was a frequent pit stop for her personal quest to clean up the cesspit in the hidden web. While many people had heard of the dark web, there were far worse, seedier areas. Those were her hunting grounds.
I'm surprised they let little piss ants like you. With your paltry few credit card numbers you lift from the pizzeria.
Pandered to his pride, piss off the peacock and he'll preen. She backed up a step when his face reddened. Addie eased the gun away and shook her head. Vi allowed her revulsion to show in her expression. Arnie had cracked too fast, too easy.
You stupid cow! You think I pawn digits? You're an idiot. It's the best damn coder in the shadows. No one's better.
His chest swelled.
I can make anything if the price is right. Everything I create is genius.
What was the price? Addie demanded. Arnie gulped. The redhead's eyes glimmered and she smirked. Taking a step back, she aimed and fired at the biggest monitor with her silenced weapon. The 4K television serving as a monitor shattered.
Here's what's gonna happen, Vi whispered. You're gonna tell me everything, and fast. My friend here is short-tempered and has a lot of bullets. The next one's going into your hard drive.
I'm not telling you a damn thing. They'll kill me.
I won't let them, because that'd be too easy.
He needed to suffer, scream endlessly, night after night, feeling phantom horrors.
First, I'm going to put you in a cold, dark hole and make you listen to what they did to her. Make you listen to your genius. Then you'll take her place. Experience everything she did as you listen to your genius.
Vi, ease off,
Cord whispered through the comm. To hell with easing off. Those bastards hadn't eased off when they'd had Mary. Hurt Mary, made her scream. Made her think they were hurting Vi the same way. All because of Arnie, the genius.
I didn't know,
he cried out.
I swear.
Actions have consequences, Arn. Today, you get yours.
Vi motioned toward the computer. Call up your genius. Show me.
I don't keep a copy. It's part of my agreement.
Like hell he didn't keep a copy.
Show me, Vi thundered.
Oh, okay.
His fingers trembled as he got to work on the keyboard. Vi watched, noted passwords as he keyed them in, and observed his security measures and protocols as he bypassed them. The drone hovered, recording each keystroke, each move.
Here it is.
He motioned to the screen. Vi grabbed the keyboard. She called up the source files, the ones he'd been given with her voice. No date or timestamps. Oh well, she'd figure out where they came from. Narrow suspects down. Likely Peter himself had recorded them, which meant they were at another dead end.
Where did the payment you got come from?
Untraceable wires, pinged through four banks. I trace payments. Knowledge is power,
he offered lamely.
How did they contact you?
On the shadows. Said a friend recommended me. I didn't ask who.
Of course you didn't,
Addie commented dryly. Afraid the hard drive's eating a bullet, Arnie.
No. Wait, I may have recorded a conversation or two. He used an app to disguise his voice, but I got past it.
Right, because you're the genius,
Vi supplied. Call it up. He looked up nervously at Addie, then back at Vi. With a nod, he got to work. Moments later, a thickly accented voice droned on through the computer's speakers. Middle Eastern, Mary commented through the headset. Hera could trace the voice, possibly. She snagged the keyboard and entered a few commands, uploading the data to a secured network and downloading a virus to obliterate Arnie's operation. It'd take 48 hours for the worm she'd written to duplicate all his data and send all incriminating evidence to the FBI. Just enough time for her to have what she needed without government suits getting in her way.
Anything else you want to offer up, Arn? Addie asked.
I cooperated. I need security. He'll come after me.
Doubtful. You aren't worth the effort. Vi commented. Besides, remember what I said about consequences. Making stupid decisions gets you in trouble.
Vi turned, picked up the weapon she'd set on the table and headed toward the door. She wanted to put two rounds in his forehead, but the bastard would get his comeuppance, courtesy of the alphabet soup. Until then, he could marinate a couple days.
Don't get on my radar again. I won't be so nice next time. You owe me.
Each step away from Arnie Mulligan quickened her pulse. She remained silent as Addie fell into step alongside her. Drones zoomed past them as they exited the building and headed across the street to the vehicle. Addie grabbed Vi's wrist and removed Hera's controller, the one she hadn't even considered using because Mary and Cord had handled the drones from the compound. Vi sat in her seat as Addie removed both their earbuds and sealed everything into the case. She slammed the door shut behind Vi, then went around the front of the SUV. The vehicle slid away from the curb less than a minute later. A shrill ring sounded overhead.
We're clear, Addie replied upon answering.
Mary and Cord are working on the data,
Marshall replied.
We'll talk in the air. Transport is waiting. We're wheels up in 40 minutes.
Vi didn't want to talk. Not now. Not in the air. Not anytime soon.
He's worried, Addie offered unnecessarily when she hung up the call.
Vi, the things you said back there, you aren't past what went down with Hive.
And you are,
Vi laughed and shook her head as she stared out the window. Chicago whizzed by as they headed toward the private airstrip they'd landed at less than 3 hours ago.
I'm not any more messed up about what went down than you are.
You're right. I'm not over it. Addie locked gazes with Vi when she turned her head.
But I've spoken with Dr. Sinclair. I'm working through it. So is Mary.
Her stomach clenched. Seeing a head shrink wasn't on Vi's agenda. She didn't need help. Not that kind, anyway. She should have been there to keep Mary safe. She should have gotten them out of Hive sooner. It was her fault they'd remained too long. Mary had wanted to leave weeks before she was taken, but Vi wanted more dirt on Martin Driggs, Peter's co-owner. They'd both suspected Driggs as being dirty. Neither had considered Peter, mainly because the bastard had faked his death. Vi couldn't undo her foolish decision, a decision Mary suffered for. She squeezed her eyes shut and forced a deep breath. Her fingers moved in time to invisible code scrawling through her brain, but the stress management technique she'd taught herself didn't ease the ache in her chest. The regret lodged in her throat.
I won't let you down again, Mary. I won't let any of you down, I swear.
The vehicle signaled another incoming call. Addie answered before Vi could say otherwise. Vi? Mary's voice was soft, hesitant. The edge wasn't ever supposed to be soft, and sure as hell not hesitant. Vi had done that, added those cracks in a once unbreakable armor. She forced a cleansing breath and focused on the task at hand.
Any luck with Hera tracking the voice?
She's working on it, Mary replied. Are you okay?
Okay, I'll see you soon.
See you. The line went dead. Addie shook her head.
You can't avoid her forever. She's worried.
Vi didn't need to avoid Mary forever, just long enough to track down the bastards who funded Peter's betrayal, the ones who got away. Once Vi found them, everything would be good. She would fix everything. Better late than never, right?
This has been Jagged Edge, The Arsenal Book 1, written by Kara Carnes, narrated by Olivia Mayo. Copyright 2017 by Kara Carnes. Production copyright by Kara Carnes.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.